In this section of Matthew's Gospel, there are many events that happened during the ministry of Jesus Christ. He, just after he feeds the 5,000 and disperses the crowd and sends his disciples away in a boat, and after he comes to them walking on the water in the storm that night, they all come to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the other side is Gennesaret, according to Matthew 14 and verse 34. Gennesaret, northwest of the Sea of Galilee. If you're looking at a map of the Sea of Galilee, at the top left corner, around about 10 o'clock on the Sea of Galilee. And when the Lord arrives here in Gennesaret, the crowds, as is common at this point of his ministry, the crowds gather, and it tells us in the end of chapter 14 that the Lord heals them all, even those who just touched his clothes. We know from history that Gennesaret was a very well-watered and fertile plain. It was 1.25 miles by 3 miles in area. It was a perfect place for farming and growing vegetables and so on. So the Lord comes to there at the end of chapter 14. And now in chapter 15, immediately following that, whilst he is here, the Lord gets another visit from the scribes and the Pharisees. And it tells us this time they were from Jerusalem. He gets a visit from the religious liberals and the religious legalists, because the scribes were liberals. They did not believe all of the scripture, all of the Old Testament. They only believed the bits that they liked. And the Pharisees were the complete opposite. They were the legalists, which doesn't mean people that want to obey God, but a legalist is someone who actually adds other words to the Bible. They add their traditions to the Word of God. The liberals and the legalists. And these religious people come to Jesus Christ from Jerusalem, and they ask him a question. And the question that they ask the Lord tells us a lot about them. Indeed, the question they ask the Lord Jesus causes the Lord to reply to them in a very devastating way. We see it in chapter 15, verses 1 to 20. The Lord Jesus, in this section, reveals and then criticizes the erroneous views of merely religious people. So if you want the title for this mini-series of this section, the three sermons will be The Erroneous Views of Merely Religious People. Now you're no doubt familiar with the passage and reading through your Bible, but let me summarize the section before we look at it in detail. Here's what happens. The Pharisees come to the Lord and they say to him, "Why do your disciples transgress our tradition, the tradition of the elders, by not washing their hands before they eat bread?" Jesus says in answer to their question, "Well, why does your tradition contradict the Word of God? Your religious rules," the Lord goes on to say to them, "nullify the Scripture. But you still hold to your tradition." But the Lord doesn't stop there. Sure, he doesn't in answering them. He goes on and he says to them some of the harshest words he ever says to anybody in the whole of the Gospels. He calls them a bunch of hypocrites that talk a lot about God, but their heart, he says, is far from God. And he tells them, you worship God in vain. Your worship is vain. And he tells these Pharisees and scribes that they teach for doctrine the commandments of men. But he's still not finished. He really puts them in the box. Then, while they're yet standing there, Jesus calls the multitude together, calls attention of the whole multitude, and in front of the Pharisees and scribes, he totally humiliates them in front of the multitude in verse 10 and following. And he says, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you or makes you a sinner, but the defilement and the sin actually comes out of your mouth. And the disciples, after that, they come to the Lord and they say, Lord, the Pharisees were offended. Did you know the Pharisees were offended that you said that? And Jesus says, leave them alone. They're the blind leaders of the blind, and my Father hasn't planted them. And then the Lord explains to the disciples that you don't become a sinner by eating bread with unwashed hands. But that sin is already inside you. And it's from the human heart that flows sin. Sin is not an outward thing impinging upon man. Sin is not in the environment impinging upon man and making man sinful, but just the opposite. Sin is in human beings' hearts and comes out of human beings. The environment is not defiled and corrupt. No, but the human heart is what's defiled and corrupt. And it's one of the sections like Matthew 23, this section in Matthew 15, where the Jesus Christ verbally and very logically absolutely floors the argument of the scribes and the Pharisees. We learn from this passage two very important things about religious people, merely religious people. Their erroneous views are twofold, and the Lord illuminates both of them. This tonight we're going to begin on the first, and then later on we'll apply the first and come to the second. But we see in the first section that religious people, the Lord Jesus reveals their erroneous view of holiness. And then in the next section, from verse 10 and onwards, we see they have also an erroneous view of sin. They're in error on both these doctrines, holiness and sin. So now for tonight, merely religious people, the scribes and Pharisees, have an erroneous view of holiness. What is holiness? Very simply, holiness simply means to be separate, to be cut off, to be separate from normal use, and to be dedicated to purity. To be separate, keep pure from sin. That's basically what holiness means. You may say to me, and rightly so, how do these Pharisees and scribes, how do they have an erroneous view of holiness in this passage? And the answer is, I'll show you in a wee moment, but if you want it in a nutshell, here it is. Because they think that holiness is attained by keeping extra strict man-made rules. Man-made rules. What I want to do now is give you one point, which will be the rest of the sermon, the event and the explanation of verses 2 to 9. Next time, we look at examples of this from these people in the rest of the Gospels, this wrong view of holiness, and then we'll apply the principle today. But firstly, the event and the explanation of verses 2 to 9. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? for they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, It is a gift, or it is corban, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honour not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition, and on the Lord goes. So what we see firstly here, the event and the explanation, we see the tradition of hand washing. Hand washing as a tradition imposed among people. Why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat bread? Now it is important for us to understand that this is not about cleanliness in the sense of you've got dirty hands and before you eat your meal you go and wash them. It doesn't mean that at all. Jesus and his disciples were most certainly not against eating with washing your hands before you eat a meal. If you're out working in the field or digging in the coal mine and your hands are filthy, that's fine. They weren't against that. It's nothing to do with that. What the Pharisees and scribes are referring to is ceremonial or a religious observance of hand washing. Now, where did they get this idea from? They derived it from the Old Testament law in the sacrificial system, where the priests had to wash their hands before and after certain religious tabernacle observances. The priests had to wash their hands. And they had to do that so as not, remember the symbolism, not to defile the holy with the profane. So they had to go through these ceremonial washings. Now note it was the practice then after Old Testament times, in the intertestamental period, after Malachi up to the Lord in the New Testament, that time, that 400 years, and this is, I'm quoting from church history now, or rabbinic history, it was during that time, it was a practice that the rabbis took up, the rabbis in between took up and began to apply this practice not just to the priests on the sacrificial system, but they made this a tradition that they applied to all Jews all the time. So what we have here is a very strict religious observance applied to the wrong people. The religious observance was to do with sacrifices applied to the priests in the Old Testament. The rabbis called this practice Netel Lat Yadayim. That's in Hebrew. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. A washing of hands prior to eating bread. Now, I'm quoting to you now from the Mishnah and the Talmud, the extra application and rules the Pharisees and so on had made up. Derived from the Old Testament, where the priests were given or gifted a living from oil and wine and wheat, quote, to be eaten only after the ritual washing of hands. And you do understand why, of course, they would have to wash their hands because they've been killing animals and there's blood all over their hands and you wouldn't want to go and eat food immediately after that. Continuing the quote, for various reasons, the ancient rabbis extended this practice to all Jews before eating meals. So what we notice here is this. The rabbis began to misapply God's practice for the priests in the tabernacle, and they began to impose it wrongly upon all Jews. So what we have here is a super strict rule, a tradition that they made up, the same as what Jesus says in Matthew 23 about the Pharisees: you bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and you lay them on men's shoulders. God's rules for priests, made even stricter and applied to everybody. Man-made tradition. Because that's what the word tradition means. Just a man-made rule. That's what a tradition is. And the rabbis made this up, and their idea was, we are all to do these things as Jews. We have to keep the tradition of the elders. We obey these man-made rules, and it will make us more holy. That was the whole motive behind it. And to break this tradition of hand washing, netilyat, whatever it was, the rabbis say in the Talmud, is worse than going out with a prostitute. I'm quoting now. It is to break the hand washing tradition, quote, was a sin that will cause you to be uprooted from the world. End of quote. So you see, they had made a tradition, a man-made rule, super strict, and to break it was now a terrible sin, more serious than breaking the seventh commandment. Indeed, they made up 9 more occasions when ceremonial hand washing was a law for all the Jews. Let me read it to you. Let me give you the list. Washing hands is to take place when one awakes from sleep. The water is to be poured from a vessel 3 times intermittently over each hand. So not only do you have to wash your hands, it had to be done 3 times on the right hand, 3 times on the left hand. That's not in the law of God at all. They just made it up. The washing is said to remove the evil spirit from one's fingers. Washing hands before prayer. Washing hands when you cut your fingernails or after you've washed your face. Washing hands when you leave the lavatory or bathhouse. Washing hands when you leave a cemetery. Washing hands before breaking of bread, and when bread is served in one supper, and the only bread is to be made of the 5 chief grains: wheat, cultivated barley, spelt, wild barley, and oats. Only bread that's made by that, you have to wash your hands before you eat it. Washing hands after eating a meal where the salt of Sodom is served at the table. So if you have salt, you should wash your hands after you put the salt in your dinner immediately. Washing hands prior to going to bless people as prescribed in the sacerdotal blessing, and washing hands before you eat when you dip a morsel of food into any kind of liquid, water, honey, oil, soup, etc. You have to wash your hands immediately after that. So you get the general gist of the rules that they've made up and added to this tradition. The rabbis took and greatly complicated and added to what God had said. They misapplied it to everybody, and then they imposed this tradition on other people. And that is what the Pharisees and scribes were coming and saying to Jesus: why do your disciples not wash their hands before they eat bread? Wrongly implied, super strict rules that they had made up. So the first thing is hand washing. The second thing we see is Jesus' answer. His answer is a question, verse 3. Why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? Jesus doesn't even answer them about the bread and the hand washing at all. But the Lord immediately attacks their whole emphasis upon tradition. Man-made religious rules being exalted in importance over the Word of God. That's what the Lord is attacking here. And Jesus shows in verses 4 to 9 an example of how these rabbis used and obeyed their own traditions, their own rules, even when their own rules directly contradicted the Scriptures. We see that in verses 3 right down to 9. Now, I've read it already. God commanded, saying, honour your father and mother. He that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, and I'm not really against it, so on. These people followed their tradition, their man-made rules, instead of the Scriptures, the Bible. They made God's word, says Jesus, of no effect by their tradition. The example that the Lord gives here is a tradition that the rabbis called Korban. Basically, the tradition was this that Jesus is talking about. A man is under obligation to honour his parents according to the law of God in commandment number 5. And in those days, there was no such thing as pensions. Honour included in those days looking after your parents' needs when they were too old and frail to work and look after themselves. It's basic common sense, isn't it? Even on our day when there's all sorts of help, there's not one of us that would let our parents starve to death or be homeless. Sure we wouldn't. We wouldn't. But this tradition that the rabbis made up called Korban was a man-made tradition that the rabbis and priests thought up to get more money. Let me quote Matthew Henry. A man while working age could bestow his worldly estate, all his stuff, and devote it to the service of the temple. Now, let me interject here. He could say, all my land, my house, all my stuff, I'm devoting it to the service of the temple. The man could still live in his house, work his land for the rest of his life. He didn't lose his house or his land. But the day that the man died, the temple would come in and claim all that and sell it and take the money. That was the tradition of Korban. Let me continue the quote now. When anything was devoted to the temple, Korban, all other obligations were superseded and the man was discharged from them. End of quote. So in other words, if a man under this tradition was to say, all my stuff is devoted to the temple, then that devotion supersedes all other duties and obligations, so he is therefore free from all other duties with his material things. He's free from the duty of honouring his parents. He's free from the duty of looking after his family. And that's why Jesus says to them in verse 6, and honour not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Your tradition, teaching people not to obey the law of God, sets them free from obedience to God's law as long as they keep your tradition instead. That's what the Lord's saying to them. The Lord is saying, you even keep your man-made rules when they contradict God's rules. And the man is free from then on not to look after his parents, not to look after his family, and to let them be hungry and homeless. That is what this tradition taught. Because Corban, keeping their tradition, was more important than obeying the word of God. And that's why the Lord speaks to them so strongly. That's the third thing we notice in this overview of the passage of what the event and what happened. Jesus tells them, because of this action, exactly what they are. Do you see what's happening here, brethren? Jesus is telling them that their traditions are unbiblical, contradictory to the scripture. Your tradition contradicts the Bible. You've superseded, your tradition supersedes the biblical laws and breaks God's law. And he's saying to them, you know, Pharisees and scribes, don't you be thinking that you're going to impose these man-made rules on my disciples, on Christians, because you're not. And he calls them religious hypocrites. In verse 7, he says, you're just like Isaiah said, you hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you? Verse 8, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The Lord's saying, you pretend to honour God with your words, Pharisees, but your heart is far from God. And then in the next verse, he says that their worship, their man-centred worship, is vain, which means totally empty. And that they teach for doctrine the commandments of man. Your religion, he says to them, is based upon man-made rules. Your laws are man-made. They said, in coming to the Lord and asking the question, Why don't you worship in the way we do? Why don't you obey our man-made rules? Why don't you do it the way we do? The way we made up? And Jesus says to them, because your way is daft, and it breaks God's law, your way. And I want to actually worship God, and I want my disciples to actually worship God, and to do that you need to obey the scripture, not the traditions of man. Not contradict the scripture with man-made traditions and ideas. You see, these men, these rabbis and Pharisees, had actually made up hundreds of extra applications and rules and traditions and added them to the scripture. Well, that's basically an introduction to the problem in the passage and to why the Lord speaks to them in this way. We've seen two traditions they had tonight, hand washing and Corban. And what were these two traditions all pretending to be? You do this and what does it make you, they thought. If you keep our tradition, you'll be very holy. That was pretended holiness. Super strict religious add-ons to make them super duper holy. But in reality, their religious add-ons were unbiblical and actually contradicted the Bible. It was a misapplication, the first one, of the law for priests to everybody, made stricter. And the second tradition, the Corban, directly contradicts the fifth commandment. Man-made traditions made up under the excuse of pretended spirituality, pretended holiness. But in reality, it was just sin in another guise. When they misapply the Word of God, when they contradict the Word of God, it is sin. It is sin. Any tradition that misapplies the Scripture or contradicts the Scripture is sin. Now, like I say, I only got to the first point under their religious person's erroneous view of holiness. But the next time we'll apply it and move on. The events and the explanation, the tradition of hand washing, the tradition of Corban. A veneer of religious holiness and spirituality that was a misapplication and a contradiction of the Word of God. Now, I want to apply it. I'm going to do it next time I'm here because I want to do it right. But do you think, and I thought about this much when I was preparing this message, do you think that evangelicals today in the Western world have any traditions that actually misapply or even worse, contradict the Word of God? There are. I'll list them to you next time. And some people, even knowing that, will still hold to their tradition anyway. Sadly. Let me conclude. A number of points of application are challenged to us. Let us, brethren, firstly, beware that we don't misapply the Word of God. It is important not to misapply the Word of God. Let me give you an example. In 1 Timothy and chapter 3 are listed the qualifications for an elder and a second list of qualifications for deacons, the two biblical offices. Who do those qualifications apply to? They apply, of course, to elders and deacons, don't they? Beware if I ever come to you and say, you know, brethren, you should all fulfill those qualifications. The elders' qualifications. You should all fulfill them. Because see, if you do so, well, you'll be really spiritual and holy. Beware of that. That's a load of rubbish. The qualifications only apply to elders and deacons. Not everybody else. It's a misapplication. Or, for example, let me read to you from Jeremiah chapter 7. Here's another one. Could be very easily misapplied. Jeremiah chapter 7. Let me read verse 9 to 16. Listen to what this God says to Jeremiah. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery? Speaking through Jeremiah to the people. And swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place, which was at Shiloh, where I had set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people. And now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I speak unto you rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called to you, but you answered not, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry, nor prayer for them, neither make intercession for me, to me, for I will not hear thee. There's God specifically commanding Jeremiah not to pray for God's people under judgment. Now, who does that passage apply to? Literally. It applies to Judah and Israel under judgment in the days of Jeremiah. But imagine if I was to come along to you and take that passage wrongly and start applying it to us and the church today by saying, you know what? You would be very, very spiritual not to pray for the church today because God commands Jeremiah there not to pray for the church. I would be taking what God rightly said to Jeremiah and applying it wrongly. And so you'd be very spiritual if you obeyed that by not praying for the church. Terrible. Misapplication. The wrong application of the Bible. That's exactly what the rabbis did with hand washing for the priests. They made it more complicated and applied it wrongly to ordinary people. Secondly, let us beware of traditions that contradict the Word of God. Any Christian or religious tradition, any man-made rule that contradicts the Bible itself has to be sin. For example, how can a sinner be saved? Is a sinner saved when they're baptized? Some churches teach that baptismal regeneration. Is a sinner saved when they hear the last rites just before they die? There's another tradition that contradicts the Bible. Is a sinner saved by taking the Lord's Supper? Or by having Christian parents? No, no, no. Yet these are traditions that have grown up, haven't they? And they're all wrong. They all contradict the Word of God. They're traditions that contradict the Scripture. A sinner is only saved by believing in the God that is holy and seeing themselves as a sinner and turning from that sin to Jesus Christ as their Savior and trusting in Him as the substitute and the sin bearer in our place. Believing and trusting in Him dying in my place and all other traditions of what makes a Christian are wrong and thoroughly unbiblical, and more than that, they contradict the Word of God. Let us all make sure in these areas that we don't apply the Bible and we beware of things that contradict the Word. Thank you so much for your attention this evening. We'll have more. It'll be more easy listening next time I'm here, more application and so on. But the Lord bless you. Thank you. I'll just leave this.
We close our service by turning to Psalm 119.